Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Monday morning, Dr. Kevin Mose, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, makes a house call here. Good morning, Doc. We got into a big debate about this last week. Maybe you can clear up the confusion. We know if you're fully vaccinated, it is most likely going to keep you out of the hospital. But does it... I can't even understand my own question here. Are you less likely to pass COVID on to someone else or get it from someone else as far as vaccinations are concerned?
Well, Bob, when you ask the question that way, you're saying less likely if you are vaccinated. So that means that you would compare yourself against those who were not vaccinated to those who are vaccinated. And certainly the answer is yes, for numerous reasons. One, the symptoms are much less mild. So you're not coughing as much, which is how we would spread it. And your length of time that you're ill is much shorter. So those who are vaccinated are actually may still be able to spread the virus, but are going to do it at a shorter period of time and less severe than those who are unvaccinated, who get this illness and have coughing spells and are sick longer and are shedding the virus longer, because the body in those who are vaccinated are eliminating that virus quicker than those who are unvaccinated. So absolutely, those who are vaccinated will spread it less for a shorter period of time than those who are unvaccinated.
I think what I said here last week was if you're fully vaccinated and you do get COVID, you would have less of a viral load, which means you would be less likely to spread it. Is that correct?
Exactly. You know, even if you had a large viral load, that load is going to decrease very quickly because your body has antibodies to fight it. It's going to stop it from getting into the cells and replicating. That's the big thing. Our vaccines and our antibodies that we make stop that virus from getting in the cells. Once it gets in the cells, it makes millions and millions of copies. So if you can stop that, then the viral load absolutely is decreased and the shedding is decreased. So you are absolutely right. You know, that's what the vaccine does. It stops this virus from getting in cells, replicating and causing more havoc. That's why we're starting to see individuals who do have breakthrough cases have mild symptoms, because the virus isn't having an opportunity to become overrun the body. So you're absolutely right.
We don't talk about this enough. What else can we do besides getting vaccinated to boost our immune systems, our natural immunity?
Yeah, you know, really, we come back to this for almost everything. Well, even before COVID, you know, what are we going to do to make sure that our immune system is as tuned up as possible? And it does come down to diet and rest. So, you know, making sure that your diet has a good balance of vitamins, vitamin D, very important for the immune system, vitamin C, very important for the immune system, and then also making sure that we're getting the rest that we need. Our body needs to rest in order for the immune system to work well. So if you can get rest, stay well hydrated, and make sure that you have the good balanced vitamins that you need, that's actually going to help your immune system, and it's going to help you not only make more antibodies and better antibodies, but it's also going to help you fight off other illnesses.
I'm looking at a story this morning, the headline, if you have COVID-19, take an exercise break. So if you do have COVID, and if you're asymptomatic, the suggestion here is take it easy for a while, right?
Yeah, you really do. You know, light exercise, light walking, things along those lines are fine, but I certainly wouldn't go out and run a marathon. I certainly wouldn't go out and work out heavily in a gym for a couple reasons. One is just what you were talking about before. You know, the more you work out, the harder you breathe, the more virus you're shedding, especially if you're around others. So out of courtesy, you shouldn't be doing that in a public environment or public gym kind of area. The other is your body needs to rest. So stressing your body for anything is certainly going to make that the virus will have a better chance of staying in your body, replicating, and lengthening the course of illness that you have. So getting rest and doing all those things while you're sick is very important. And minimize your exercise. But like I said, light exercise, a light walk is still good for your heart and lungs.
What's the situation with Northwestern hospitals that you visit, and what are you hearing from your colleagues in other health systems around here?
Yeah, we had a call with the state last week. We have a local call here for the local CMOs in Chicago tomorrow night, so it'll be very interesting to see. You know, what we're seeing right now is hospitals are still into overflow areas, so we're still stressed. We're seeing staff calling off because they're positive for COVID. Probably the interesting thing and something that individuals need to understand, too, is we're seeing more what we call incidental COVID cases. In other words, people are coming into the hospital because they had appendicitis, so they had a heart attack, or they had a stroke, and they're testing positive. Those incidental COVID cases are now getting up to the 30-35%, which is just showing us how prevalent this illness is in the community. So when we hear, you know, how many COVID patients hospitalized do we have here? We have over 100, but potentially 60 of them are here for COVID and 40 of them are here for other illnesses.
We will get to some listener questions, lots of emails and texts for Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Continuing with Dr. Kevin Most of Northwestern Medicine, we get this question a lot, Doc, about infertility. My daughter-in-law is convinced that the vaccine will cause infertility and will not get the vaccine or have my granddaughter vaccinated. Please give me some definite answers for her.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you two answers. I'll give you the math answer and I'll give you the science answer. So from the math answer, millions of people have gotten the COVID vaccine and thousands of them have given birth and become pregnant after getting the vaccine. It has been shown to be safe and effective and not have an impact on fertility, not have an impact on pregnancy. And actually, people who are pregnant are at increased risk for illness from COVID. So getting vaccinated is really important. You know, it does not cause any fertility problems in men or women and does not cause any problems with becoming pregnant. There have been a lot of large studies done. You know, 8 large U.S. health systems studied this. And if you want it, go and look at the data and look at the science and also look at the math. You know, so if we, I would just say, individuals who are saying, I don't want to get it because I want to get pregnant, you're putting yourself at a higher risk not only to get it, but potentially to get it while you are pregnant. Mm-hmm. And probably one of the most important things is when the child is born, women who are breastfeeding give some protection to that newborn because they can't be vaccinated, but yet we know that the antibodies for COVID are in the mother's breast milk. So I do extend protection to the child, as they do for many other illnesses at that early point of life.
Got it. This is a good question. My husband is vaccinated and tested positive for COVID 11 days ago. He's still coughing. Is he still contagious? He wants to go back to work.
Yeah, so as long as he is symptomatic, he should not be going back to work. We know that you can shed virus for quite a long time, and the whole quarantine issue has been so confusing for people. And, you know, it's like, boy, I tested on this day, when can I go back to work? And you've heard 5 days, you've heard 10 days. You know, we know that if 5 days later, if you're asymptomatic, okay, that's good. Your key time to shed virus is that day 3 to 5, but we do know individuals can continue to shed the virus. And if you're symptomatic, two things. One, your coworkers around you are going to be looking at you like, what are you doing here? And two, really, you're still having symptoms, so the body still has an inflammatory process going on. You still could be shedding virus. So I would say stay home.
Yeah, people are confused about how long they need to isolate. We have quite a few listener questions about what's day one? Is that when the symptoms start? Is that when you tested positive? What's the guidance on that?
Yeah, and it's a really good question, because if you think about both of those, though, we have a lot of people that now are asymptomatic and testing positive, right? Because we're doing so many tests, or we're doing tests for some other reason. I need to travel. I need it for work. I feel fine, but I'm testing positive. Those are the individuals, those asymptomatic ones that we're looking at, especially in some high-risk fields, that we want you to at least wait the 5 days before you go back to work. Now, many people are saying, I think these should be another test to prove you're negative at that time. The testing system is so strained right now that we would not have enough tests for everybody to get that second test. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Individuals who start symptoms, if they're asymptomatic on day 5, again, it goes back to you've pushed past the time of the most infectious time for this illness, and you can go back. But a lot of people and a lot of recommendations are still staying away from that 5-day and going to 10-day, unless you're in a profession like where we really need you. I mean, that's why we're bringing nurses and doctors back earlier. We know the science is there. but we also need them to make sure that we can treat the other patients in the hospital safely.
Email from Stephanie, and I think a lot of people are thinking about this time of year. My husband and I are supposed to travel to Florida to visit my in-laws. I wanted your opinion on domestic travel right now, given the surge of illness spreading across the country. My husband and I are in our mid-40s, healthy, and have been fully vaxxed and boosted. My in-laws have been boosted as well, but do have comorbidities. Should we postpone this trip?
Yeah, you know, I mean, going to Florida right now, cases obviously in Florida are much higher than they are here in Illinois, but the parents already live there. They're already in that environment. Getting to and from an area, very safe on a plane. Air circulation is great. You're sitting next to someone you know in this situation. So, I mean, traveling right now nationally within the United States is probably not too bad. Now, when you get down there, I would say, keep yourself within your own bubble, especially if they have comorbidities. You certainly don't want them to get a breakthrough case. But certainly, you know, we can still travel here and we can still travel nationally, but I would be really hesitant to leave the country right now because the chance of you testing positive on your way back in may extend your vacation someplace you don't want for at least another 10 days.
Doc, tell me if I made the right decision. Over the holidays, I was traveling, and I'm on a plane, and Southwest has that system where you don't have a reserved seat. So by the time I got on board, there were only a couple of window seats left, and I wanted a window seat. And I looked, and one vacant seat was next to a guy in his 40s or so, and then another one. There was a little kid about 3 or 4 years old in the middle seat. So I thought, am I better off sitting, taking the window seat next to the little kid or the adult? Who's more likely to give me COVID? Now, I chose the little kid. Was I right or yeah, not?
No. You're absolutely. If you do the math, the chances of a middle-aged 40-year-old who's out and active and doing things much higher than a 3-year-old who would probably be in the house for the main time. Unfortunately, that 3-year-old can't be vaccinated, but certainly you probably made the right choice if you were in Vegas and gambling and wanted to prove that. And then, you know, turning on those vents and making sure that the air circulating around you is good. And, you know, hopefully the flight wasn't a long flight. You know, we look at flights of, you know, a couple hours being much more safe than those, you know, going coast to coast.
Oh, yeah, I had that air blowing all over me, especially after the little kid sneezed, and I noticed he was wearing his mask but not covering his nose.
Yeah.
Thanks for the support. Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Talk to you next week.
Take care, Bob.